Hello, everybody. This is Burning River Radio. We're Joe and Mike, and we'd like to welcome you to our opening day extravaganza spectacular. We're gonna have a ton of shit for you tonight. We're doing a 3-hour musical sing-along episode for everybody to enjoy. And who won't enjoy a one another wonderful Indians win?
Do these festivities include fireworks too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. I don't have the sound effects, so I hope you have them ready.
No, they're real.
No, okay.
All right, so what did you think about the game there? First one of the year.
Oof, man. Well, I mean, every time Justin Masterson came out to the mound, I was literally sitting on eggshells. I mean, you didn't know what you're going to get from him, especially in the, I would say the first 4 innings. He was all over the place. He had no control over his sinker mostly, and the swings and misses that he was getting were mistakes, which were good mistakes because a pitcher like Kim, who throws the ball with so much vertical movement that when he makes a mistake, it's really not noticeable. Because the hitters usually swing and miss a lot. So that was a good thing, but man, did he settle down.
Oh, yeah.
And Indians pitchers retired 21 of the last 22 hitters they faced.
Well, yeah, the bullpen's always been strong. But one thing about Masterson early is you didn't. I never was that worried about it because Dickey looked just as bad as he did. Neither of them could throw a strike. They were very equal, and I thought the Indians were kind of lucky to take advantage of a couple of Dickey's mistakes and put two on the board before the Blue Jays were able to put anything on there.
It's just always funny hearing you say the word Dickie.
Okay, well, enjoy
No, I mean, but Masterson's velocity was up. I mean, Dickie, he's a knuckleball pitcher. It's really difficult. I don't like talking about knuckleball pitchers because they're really boring. I mean, they just throw one pitch, and of course he threw a fastball. I think he
Well, he threw
threw.
almost completely knuckleballs. He did throw a couple fastballs, but it was pretty
I
much the
think,
same thing all
yeah.
night.
He threw two or three fastballs, but talking about Dickey is boring. Masterson, his velocity, what I really liked about it, I mean, his velocity, he was he, his average speed according to PitchFX on Brooks Baseball here was 92.76 miles an hour, and he threw the ball once at 95, actually 96. It was 95.9 miles an hour, so 96 miles an hour. So his velocity was there, which was a good sign from the outset. That's why I knew he would settle down, because usually with Masterson, it's usually command problems, and he usually has command problems early in the game. So,
Well, that
and
was
with this,
definitely true tonight.
yep, and with this new improved offense, that sort of like tonight, it masks it a little bit because he's able to settle down.
Well, how about this new and improved defense, which you've been talking shit on and off over the past 2 weeks? But Jason Kipnis made an amazing play. Asdrubal made two nice plays. Drew Stubbs made a good play, although he also booted a couple. But overall, the defense was right there behind Justin, especially on the ground balls.
Well, if it serves me correctly, to defend Drew Stubbs a little bit, I don't think there's a National League park that has field turf, fake turf, is there? I don't believe
Not
so.
right,
Just,
not
so I
currently.
think this might have been one of his only opportunities on turf. So that's why he had a couple of problems with some of those ground balls. And plus, two of
Yeah, and
those.
most of it for people who didn't see the game, he had a bad hop hit right in front of him, which I don't know, maybe he, a better route, he could have caught that ball on the fly, but it bounced right in front of him and careened to the left if you're looking at him, and they called that an error, which he didn't really even touch it, but that was an error to give a guy a double instead of a single.
Yes. But the thing is, here's the thing. I never talked crap on the outfield defense. It was always on the infield defense,
Well,
but
the
the
infield
infield
defense was strong.
it was on balls hit right at them. They don't have a whole lot of range, which could cause some issues later on in the season, but that one double play ball in the second inning that was hit directly to Asdrubal Cabrera, that was a great play.
Yeah, but
Short hopped it.
Kipnis's play was pretty far off to his side. He was a full extension dive for that.
So, but overall, it was a great game. I think the game turned on Eduardo Cabrera's two-run home run. I think that took the pressure off of Masterson, and he was able to settle down the rest of the game.
Oh yeah, and I mean, like, the bullpen did exactly what they're supposed to do. It did most of the time last year, although they didn't do it on opening day last year, when they did blow that lead. But Pestano was perfect. He got a strikeout. Joe Smith was perfect, and he got a strikeout. And Perez gave up the double, which was the one guy that you had mentioned earlier that didn't get retired towards the end of the game. But it really didn't matter. They still kept him scoreless those last six innings or so.
And a lot of pundits were talking, especially in the off season, about how good the Toronto Blue Jays were going to be this year because they made all those acquisitions, and they are built to win now. But if you look at the bottom of that lineup, man, that bottom of that lineup is just it's bad.
Yeah, the top is stacked,
Aaron
though.
Sebia had a hit, and I think Bonifacio had a hit. But I mean, after Adam Lind has some power. You got
I
Aaron
wouldn't
Sebia,
say Adam Lind is
Rasmus.
good.
Yeah, he's got well, but the thing is, he's got some power. Look at Aaron Sebia, Rasmus, Asturias, Bonifacio. They don't have any power. I mean, there's really nothing that's exciting about them.
No, Aaron Sebia has been pretty good the last few years. And he's the reason that they got rid of Gomes in the first place. Gomes would not be on the Indians if they didn't have Aaron Sebia. They would have just kept him. So I mean, they definitely have confidence in him, and they think he's a starting catcher, and he's played well the last few years. And Batista, you've got an MVP candidate every single season. They got Jose Reyes, who's now finally leading off. And an interesting thing, the announcers were worried about Reyes stealing bases, which he didn't. In fact, nobody stole a base tonight on either side. And it's interesting, Reyes had 40 steals last year, and Bourne had 40 steals last year. And you had two wild pitches who couldn't or pitchers who couldn't find the strike zone. Neither of them are particularly hard throwers, and no one even attempted a steal. I was surprised that the Indians didn't do more. I thought I know they had a two-run lead early, but both times Bourne got on, he didn't try anything. Stubbs never really tried anything. I guess Cabrera got thrown out going to second on a pickoff move, but he didn't go off the pitch.
Well, the stolen base is a risk, and it has to be a calculated risk, and I think the way Terry Francona plays baseball, or he wants to play baseball at least, is they're probably only going to steal when they're one or two runs behind. I think that's their strategy. I think when they have the lead, they're going to be more conservative on the base pass. At least that's what he was like in Boston.
Well, I'd be interested to see what I haven't heard what the strategy is, if they've actually came out and announced it. But even in like your Moneyball A's, if a guy had an 85% success rate or whatever, somewhere around there, they would let him give him the green light and he could steal whenever he wanted to because you're assuming he's helping the team. And both Stubbs and Bourne are among the most successful base stealers ever. They're both ranked in the top 50 in all of baseball history as far as stolen base percentage. So there's no reason not to let them go at a whim. And against a knuckleball pitcher, that seems to be the perfect time to try to get your timing down.
Well, I think it's somewhat true that the runner probably has a green light, but I think he has the green light. He has more freedom with the green light when the team is behind than when the team is ahead. I think this is going to be a very conservative team when it's ahead.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you don't want to risk anything just for that extra run when you're
Nope, not at
already
all.
at
No, and Terry's the type of guy who he's more than willing to take more calculated risks, probably when his back is against the wall.
Yeah, well,
But the
like
bull,
that never came up tonight.
well, changing subjects a little bit, the bullpen mafia once again pretty much lights out 1-2-3, pretty much picked up exactly where they left off. I mean, we sort of knew what we were going to get from the back end of the bullpen.
So Vinny Pestano got his 60th career save, which is good for fifth all time as an Indian. And Chris Perez got his hun oops, sorry, hold hold as an Indian. So and Chris Perez got his 100th career save as an Indian. He got his 100th career save overall last season, and this year he did his 100th as an Indian. So those are kind of meaningless, but exciting for people who like that type of thing.
Well, you love the hold stat.
I do. I think it's very.
So this is somewhat meaningful for you.
Yeah, it is. And Smith got a hold today, and I think if you look at today's game, all three pitchers pitched very well. All three pitchers did their job, and all three pitchers got the stat that says they did so. So, I mean, that's what it's there for. That's the purpose. You pitched a perfect inning in a game where you were winning in a close game. You get a hold. That's what it was originally meant for. And Masterson got the win. So every pitcher who pitched got a decision, and Masterson absolutely deserved a win. He pitched six innings when it looked like he might pitch three, and you know, he pitched better than Dickey did. I just said Dickey there because I thought you wanted to hear it again.
I always love when you say the word Dickey.
I know you love the Dickey.
Yeah. No, I was about to ask you if you love Dickey.
He's really tall.
I bet he is. pretty well built too. So, but yeah, Bullpen Mafia came in, did its job. You know, 3-run lead, was pretty much safe, especially with the bottom end of the Toronto's lineup.
Yeah, you'd hate to get a 4-run lead because then they would bring in probably Shaw or somebody, and you never know with those guys.
Right.
I mean, eventually I'd like to see the Indians get a more than a 3-run lead and try out some of those new pitchers. But, I mean, on opening day, with a close game, you're going to put the best guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all the excitement around all of the offseason free agent acquisitions, I don't think Terry Francona, any of the Indians front office, or any of the fans could have really drew this up much better than what happened today.
He could have thrown a few more strikes early on. He did end up throwing over 100 pitches in six innings, which, I mean, Dickey threw pretty much the same thing. But it's a lot easier to throw a knuckleball than it is to throw a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. So when you're looking at overall wear, you know, as far as the season goes, you didn't want to have him start out throwing 100 pitches in six innings in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to a scenario in the going into the bottom of the sixth inning. Justin Masterson had just – well, actually, it was right after he – he had 93 pitches going into the sixth inning, and the Indians had some stirring up in the bullpen. Joe Smith was warming, and somebody else.
I think Matt Albers.
I think it was Matt Albers, yeah. I mean, did you agree with the decision to bring him out there for the sixth inning, even though he had 93 pitches, and he was going to obviously go over 100 pitches?
No, while I was watching the game in the fourth inning, when he went 1-2-3 in the fourth, I said, okay, if he gets through the fifth, you got to be happy with that, and just take him out there, just in case he relapsed and went back into that first inning form, because you can get away with the stuff he got away with. He was lucky. Guys hit like that double play ball; they hit it right to second or right to short, and a run still scored. But he got out of an inning with just one run when he could have allowed three or four. And I think if you allow that to happen again in the sixth, they probably are going to get a few runs out of it. And then you have to bring a reliever in the middle of an inning. So, no, I personally wouldn't have put him in for that inning. But he obviously was up for the task.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have put him in for a different reason than you, though, just because his pitch count was so high and is early on in the season. But I think Justin, over the last couple of years, has shown and he's proven that he can certainly log the innings without getting hurt. But, I mean, you had the bottom of the lineup coming. You had Encarnacion is obviously a home run threat. Adam Lind, which he's sort of a home run threat. You had J.P. Arencibia, and he had a 1-2-3 inning. He got his sinker. It was probably at its best in that sixth inning. I mean, it seemed like Justin Masterson was getting better as the game went on. He had so ground ball out, and then that fly ball to right field in the sixth. And so I think he couldn't have gotten anything better from him. If it wasn't for those high pitch counts. In the first two innings, he probably could have went into the eighth with the way he was throwing at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully he'll maintain that, what he started doing in the last innings in his next start against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. He'll be back in the dome again.
Now, for those of us in Cleveland, obviously you're in Goodyear, and you had mentioned to me at some point that Justin Masterson in spring training was all over the place, that he had trouble hitting his spots.
Mm-hmm.
Was that true all throughout spring training that you saw him, or what?
Well, yeah, I didn't see every game, but yeah, he was definitely wild down here. And even like Jimenez looked really good in his last start. And a few play most of the pitchers were pretty on, but he was one of the more ones that was out of control as far as the Indian starters go.
Yeah, because I remember you had mentioned that to me that he was barely hitting his spots at all. And this was before interleague game or exhibition games had even begun down there in Arizona, that he was basically not hitting his spots.
Oh
So
yeah, that was just in like the original batting practice where I was able to watch him really closely. He was walking batters when they couldn't walk. They were just standing in a batting cage waiting for strikes, and they're just standing there as he's throwing, five or six balls in a row, which he did twice today in the first inning. He threw six straight balls. That's not what you're looking for out of a starter, but luckily he was able to spread it around and, get guys out around it, so it wasn't as big a deal as it could have been.
right. So overall, it was a good game played defensively, offensively. The bullpen, Masterson got better as the game went along. So anything else you wanted to add about today's game? Because I wanted to bring up the
No,
Kazmir industry.
yeah, I think we should definitely talk about the roster moves the Indians made just prior to the game. I guess you could go into it. Obviously, the move itself was Scott Kazmir came up for Nick Hagedorn, and you can cover why they did that, or
No,
if you know why they did
no,
it.
you can go ahead and do that.
Okay, so basically, Kazmir threw a bullpen or whatever a couple days ago, and hurt his abdomen, if I remember right. I just kind of
Yeah,
hurt it on the
his.
side. Yeah, so he hurt himself, and it was to the point where it looks like he's going to go on the disabled list. So if he, for him to go on the disabled list, he hasn't pitched in about 5 days or so. I think this is the 27th of March. So if he's on a roster and they put him on the disabled list, then he's eligible to come off like 15 days from the 27th. Whereas if they don't put him on the roster today, then it's 15 days from whenever they put him on the roster. At least that's what it seems like they're saying. So rather than wait until his first start in against Tampa Bay, it would be the opener against Tampa Bay, and they put him on a roster today. By doing that, if they could put him on the DL tomorrow and bring Hagedorn up tomorrow, because the 10-day rule is waived when a player is put on the disabled list. So they'd be able to bring Hagedorn back immediately, and they'd only lose him for the one game, which they obviously didn't need him for anyway, since they had a full 7-man bullpen without him.
You might want to
That's
explain that
essentially it.
again because I'm really confused. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to explain it.
Okay.
But
And then it looks like, I
oh,
mean,
go
to
ahead.
me, Carrasco should be the next would be the obvious starter. You may have to move some stuff around, and you may still need a spot starter for that first game in Tampa, but Carrasco could fit in just as easily where Kazmir was slated to pitch.
Well, but Carrasco, though, has to. He has a suspension that he has to fulfill.
Yeah, so that's why he won't be able to pitch the first game that Kazmir was supposed to pitch.
So, what you're saying is if Kazmir has to miss any more time.
Yeah, if Kazmir
Okay.
is going to be put on the disabled list, maybe they wouldn't bring up Hagedorn for him. Maybe they would bring up another starter, let the starter pitch the game, send him down, and then move Carrasco into that rotation. Or maybe they really don't like Carrasco and would just keep the other starter and send Carrasco back down.
Well, it all depends on the type of industry. I keep on wanting to say industry. Why industry? It doesn't make any sense. Injury is. I haven't really found out a whole lot. And of course, Indians are always very quiet on their injuries. But apparently, it's just a left abdominal muscle strain.
Yeah,
And.
that sometimes turns into an oblique strain or whatever they call it, and whatever words they want to use, sometimes guys miss a month for that.
Right. It d depends on what type of degree injury, because there's three different types of degrees of ab strains: first degree, second degree, and third degree, almost like felonies. But it just depends on
Are you
what he
sure it
has.
wasn't like fourth degree, fifth degree, and seventh degree or something? It was first, second, third.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
glad you explained
I
that.
think I'm yeah. Well, I'm smart when it comes to the law. I should be a lawyer.
Okay.
But it's probably because even though he pitched independent ball and he pitched winter ball this year, his body isn't really quite up to the rigors of Major League Baseball yet, in my opinion. So, but
Yeah.
it all depends, on the type of the degree of injury that he has. How many? I mean, it could be if it's a first degree strain, then it's probably going to be 3 weeks. But it could be even longer than that. It could be up to a month, even 2 months. It all depends. And these type of injuries tend to linger as the series goes on, or as the season goes on too. So we'll have to wait and see with him. But the good news is, we are talking about the fifth starter after all. We're not talking about Justin Masterson. We're not talking about Ubaldo
Yeah,
Jimenez.
and the Indians are deep in this one respect. They're deep in fifth starters. I wouldn't say they're deep in starting pitching, but you got, like I said, Carrasco's up there. Trevor Bauer's in the minors. Daisuke Matsuzaka's in the minors, along with other guys who they probably wouldn't even think about using, like Eric Berger and Matt Langwell, guys who have been around Columbus for a year or two. So they have plenty of options as far as just a single game thing. I do have to think, though, that they would not have put him on the roster today if they weren't going to put him on the disabled list. I mean, they had to think at least 50 more than a 50% chance. Otherwise, they would have let him down there. Because what's the big? Not only do they think they have to put him on the disabled list, but they think he's only going to miss like two starts. Because if
Right.
he was going to miss three starts, you could just put him on the disabled list and not bring him up.
Yeah,
Yeah. So that. It seems like it is at least somewhat serious.
I think it's probably second degree. I think he could miss up to a month, but he is going to throw a bullpen session on Wednesday. We'll see how long that goes. So we'll definitely keep at least my nose to Twitter during that bullpen session, see what's going on. But don't forget, there's a name out there that sort of slid under the radar most of the spring that could get that number five, that could spot start, particularly during Kazmir's injury, and that's Daisuke. I mean, that's a name
Yeah,
that you
that's
have to
what
watch.
I mentioned him,
Yeah.
and he did sign a contract with the Indians. I believe Matt Capps did as well. He was the other guy that they had signed as an invitee, didn't want to break camp with the team, and wanted to keep anyway. So he's down there.
Right.
There was a couple other roster things that happened today that are interesting to some people. David Huff is not gone. Despite being completely out of options and not being wanted, nobody wants him. So he's back. Yippee. We get more David Huff.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, how there are so many teams out there that broke camp still looking for four and five starters, and here he is, young, left-handed, and nobody even picked him up. Nobody even touched him.
No, and the thing is, if you, I mean, he's a left-handed pitcher who can get people out at a fairly regular basis. They could turn him into a matchup lefty if they wanted to. Everybody needs one of those. So it seems like there's a place for him, but nobody had a place for him today, I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, left-handed, young, left-handed southpaw, and nobody picked him up. It's
And
unbelievable.
they did drop one other guy that did get picked up. Ezekiel Carrera got picked up by the Phillies
Who?
today. You know who Ezekiel Carrera
Oh,
is.
Carrera. Okay, yeah, I know who he is now.
The wonderful outfielder who is very fast and not all that great at hitting.
How crazy is this? At one point in time last season, we were talking about possibly Ezekiel Carrera being a part of the Indians' outfield in the future.
Well, he could have been had they didn't. They signed three outfielders this offseason. If they hadn't signed three new outfielders, then Carrera would be still on this team and he would be the backup outfielder. If they had just signed two, he'd still be around. But because they signed three, there wasn't any more room on the roster for him. I mean, he's almost like a Michael Bourne. If Bourne couldn't hit as well as he can.
Which,
know,
yeah,
or
that, I
he's
mean, even though that's a pretty big skill set you're leaving out.
Yeah, so he's like that, or he can't hit as well as Bourne, he can't run or play defense as well. So you're really talking about a very light Michael Bourne, but keep all the strikeouts.
He's a poor man's Coco Crisp.
Yeah, you could say that too. But I mean, you love speed guys and exciting young players, and it's sad to see anybody like that go, especially to the Phillies.
Well, you know what? The Phillies, I never had a problem with the Philadelphia
No, I
Phillies.
don't either. I'm just fucking
Yeah,
around.
I mean, they never ruined my childhood when I was a kid. They were always in the National League, and the Indians never really played them when I was growing up.
No, and they just, I mean, they got Francisco in lead for a guy who the Indians are afraid to use as their fifth starter, even though he's obviously the best choice, and a catcher who won't die. And I guess the best part of that trade was that they sent Jason Donald to Cincinnati and came back with Drew Stubbs. I'm going to say that that was probably a one-for-one trade, right? They
Yeah.
sent Donald for Stubbs.
Basically. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that
mean
was
that
it.
was yeah, that might go down as one of the best trades in Indians history, depending
Yeah.
on how Drew Stubbs does. Because Jason Donald was ugh. I mean what we got in return for Cliff Lee, ugh.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Carrera being a light version of Coco Crisp. Well, Donald is a light version of Mike Aviles. They were trying to train Donald to do everything Aviles already does, you know. And I mean, as soon as they got him, they didn't need him at all.
Right. That trade, well, you know, no, we'll save that for another time. We'll save the Cliff Lee trade for another day.
Which oh, the Cliff Lee trade. Yeah, I'll say if you're talking about the Chu one, I think the other part of that was Chu was traded straight up. Well, Chu traded up for Bauer, and then like Sip went for Albers and Shaw or something like that. I think that was most of them. You can't really count Anderson because he just got released right after it. I don't even know where he is. It was a stupid pickup in the first place.
Who is this?
Lars Anderson, we got him from the Sox back in late last year. And then he was included in the Chu trade to Arizona, and then Arizona released him and he signed somewhere else, but no one could keep him because he's out of options and whatever. A little like
One
Russ
thing's for sure,
Kansler.
I don't know if I would want a guy on my team called Lars. I don't know if I'd want a guy on my
No,
team called Lars.
it's weird.
Well, you know, as we're talking, Yu Darvish is perfect through 8 innings, by the way, in
Are you
Houston.
serious? I didn't. I just turn everything. When the Indians are done, my world is over. I just end it.
14 strikeouts.
That's crazy. I saw him pitch last week, actually. It was a pretty exciting day, but I don't think he did that well. He did okay.
Right. So we should wrap this up so I can go and watch the end of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm turning this on myself. I want to see what's happening.
You turn me on all the time, Joey.
Well, whatever you say, Mike. Are you gonna give us a song tonight,
Yes.
Mike?
A song.
Yeah.
Song. No, I can't sing, man. I mean, they were
You
doing it
can't.
in the Rogers Center tonight. I don't know if you picked it up, but the crowd was going ole, ole, ole. I think they had one too many Molson Ices.
No, I actually didn't hear that one. I watch on the wonderful service called MLB.TV, and you really can't see anything past the basic
No, you could hear it. You could tell that the fans, you
Oh,
could tell
yeah.
that the entire crowd in Toronto tonight was just smashed beyond unbelievable control.
Well, they should have been. It was a sellout. It's in Canada. There's nothing else to do. You just drink. It's a good time. Yeah, I think we learned something about Canada in the World Baseball Classic that maybe we didn't know before. We kind of like always overlooked them as like they're peaceful people. They don't, they don't fight. They keep to themselves, whatever. I think they're really, I don't know. They're much more aggressive. They're more party animals than we ever give them credit for.
Yeah, it would not be something. I mean, that would be a fun city to go tailgate in if they ever had an NFL team.
They're gonna.
The Bills should definitely move to Toronto.
Oh, don't let anyone in Buffalo hear you say that. Okay, I got the game up now. It looks like he's got 1 inning to go, and he's got the fantastic trio of Jason Castro, Carlos Corporan, and Marwin Gonzalez, all of whom do not have a hit this year, and all of whom I have never heard of before.
I've heard of
So,
Jason Castro, that's about it. But
yeah, that's it sounds really really great
the
there.
big question is, are you gonna end the show and let me go so I can watch it? Because I don't have a TV where my computer is, so I can't watch it.
Okay, I guess this is only one game we're talking about today, so it could be a shorter one. We'll plan on doing these on a pretty much weekly basis, so hopefully we'll hit it up again about next Tuesday, and we'll still be talking about the Indians being in first place in the American League Central. Justin Masterson kicking everyone's ass.
Hey, magic number 161, buddy.
That sounds fantastic. All right. Well, I've been Joe.
And I've been Mike. I still am Mike.
Yeah, something
Yeah,
like that.
I'm still
Okay.
Mike. Yep.
Well, all right. And we'll see you next time. Have a nice night.
Bye.